It's 8:12 and 59 degrees on this beautiful Friday morning on the Tony Conley Morning Show, 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com. What a news day with the bridge and with the Byram censorship and several other stories. It's been a great morning for news, and it's going to continue. Let's head out to the McLaren Health Plan phone line and talk with Congressman Tim Walberg. How are you, Congressman?
I am well. A beautiful, I guess you'd say, normal day in Michigan.
Have you gotten any information about the proposed new bridge, $2.1 billion project from Detroit to Windsor?
Nothing more than what I've heard on the news. And so we'll wait and see what the full story, at least the full story presented today by the governor and the Prime Minister of Canada. And I believe from what we heard, I've heard this week that our Transportation Secretary, Ray LaHood, will be there as well. At least it sounds as if he will be, since he's supposed to be here in Michigan today, and I can't think of any other reason why he would be here.
I want to get your take on a bill that you are supporting regarding prayer. Tell us about that.
Well, it's HRES, House Resolution 662, which is a resolution that I've sponsored along with, I think at present, over 30 co-sponsors and growing, to simply state that it is the sense of Congress that since the beginning of time of our country and its founders, we have encouraged the free expression, First Amendment liberties, of religion, including prayer, and that specifically deliberative bodies like the State House of Representatives, the U.S. Congress, school boards, town councils, you name it, because of their deliberative nature, they come in under the tradition that those bodies, if they choose to, and that's key, Tony, it is not a mandate anywhere, but if they choose to open their meetings in prayer, they can do that. There's been pushback by various, I would believe, anti-religious expression, and in some ways opposing the full display of the First Amendment organizations, saying that prayer is not to be part of any of these bodies. And though, again, this is not a mandate, it is a sense of Congress saying, with the tradition of the United States, in the Constitution of the United States, we affirm the fact that these bodies that are deliberative should be allowed to open in prayer if they so determine.
So what type of prayer? Is it limited to Christianity, or can it be any type?
No, not at all. And in my statements in reference to this bill, we refer to the Judeo-Christian traditions here in this country that unlike almost any other country in the world, whether it be Muslim countries or Hindu or Buddhist countries, we offer total freedom, a plurality of religions. And those of us who have a Judeo-Christian belief philosophy, we certainly affirm our beliefs and believe that that was really how our country was started, and the freedoms given come from the ancient writings of Scripture. Our law comes from people like Moses and others, and we affirm that in documents as well as carvings on our various chambers, including the Supreme Court. But in doing that, we've said, hey, all religions or non-religions are free in this country to express, and there are school boards and towns councils and others that open with prayers, offering opportunities for clerics of all different stripes and religions to offer prayers and opening, and we think that that ought to continue. But just because a number of prayers are opened in the Judeo-Christian prayer, that doesn't mean that there should be an attack on it.
All right, with no disrespect to God, and that's the last guy I want to get on the bad side of, don't we have a lot more pressing issues than this?
Oh, yeah, and we continue those. But frankly, this is one of those issues that is very clearly constitutional. The framers and founders thought it worth putting in as the First Amendment in our Bill of Rights, the right to free expression without government intervention on our religious life. And so, no, it's not without consequence. As we begin to erode, whether it's through the takeover of our healthcare systems, our financial systems, whether it's the pushbacks on some of the basic traditional moral philosophy in our country, whether it's you name it, it all comes together. And so at the expense of a group of important, so-called important issues, this is not an expense. This is just one, and we carry on daily with many issues in Congress. That's why we have so many committees looking at all those issues, and frankly, we continue to work on the economics, on the jobs, on health care repeal, numerous things, including this next week, a vote to hold our Attorney General of the United States in contempt of Congress. So work goes on, but that should not negate doing things that many of our citizens are requesting concern be taken, and that's the area of expression of our religious beliefs.
President Obama recently said that the Republicans are keeping him from creating millions of jobs. How would you respond to that?
Well, I think he's absolutely wrong, and he could call his Senate leadership, Harry Reid specifically, and say, Harry, it's time to stop blockading all of the action by the Republican-controlled House. Remember, the Republicans only control one House. The White House is controlled by the Democrats, as is the Senate controlled by the Democrats. We have been doing our constitutional work and passing legislation, and I would say, Tony, in almost every case in bipartisan fashion, including the budget. We've sent a budget to the Senate 2 years running. We've sent over 30 jobs bills. Now, the Senate leadership may say, well, these aren't the jobs bills we want. Well, that's fine. That's the way we do government. And so they could amend our bills and send them back to us, or write their own bill and send it to us and let us disagree with them if they don't want to disagree with us. We'll take that and then go to conference committee and hammer out a solution. But that has been short-circuited, and the president has shown no leadership. All he does is blame. And if he were to call Harry Reid and say, Harry, it's time to stop. We need a do-something Congress. And right now, the Senate is the only part of the Congress that isn't acting. And so disagree with the House, send them back a solution, and then we can see what takes place in compromise. But that hasn't happened.
The president says the economy's doing fine, and private business is doing okay.
And we all know that, don't we, Tony? You hear those people calling into your show every day saying, you know, I'm so sick and tired of having so many options for job opportunities. I'm frustrated because I just can't make a decision. There's so many. And I'm just so delighted that my house is being foreclosed on because, frankly, I don't have a job to, come on. The president, I think, had to backpedal real quickly. And I'm glad you bring it up. Sadly, a lot of our national media just has let this slip by rather quickly, that the president is so out of touch with the people, the real people, that are hurting back here in Michigan. And thankfully, we've seen some positive movement in Michigan. We've seen some growth in our economy. We have some senses as I go through manufacturing facilities as recently as yesterday in my district, and I hear some very encouraging statements. And yet, they are all saying we're still guarded. We're keeping some of our money under the table and not using it at this point in time because, frankly, there's a great amount of uncertainty as to the direction of this country. And they're waiting for the November elections to see what to do.
All right, final question for you. There are more than 70,000 high-paying technical jobs that could be filled in manufacturing, also in computers, many in your district. We hear from a lot of folks that they don't have the funding needed to get the training for those jobs, and many don't have enough education for those jobs. What can you do to help?
Well, I think we have to, again, encourage our academic community, our ISDs with the career centers, as well as our junior colleges.
Yeah, but their funding has been cut, Congressman. They need help.
Well, they need help, but they also need to look at their budgets as well. When we see the extensive overlash of administrators, bureaucracy within some of our institutions, some of our great universities, I think they have to look that direction as well. We're in a significantly tough time economically in this country with a lot of people hurting, and to continue to see tuitions raised and and really a lack of understanding of what the private sector has to deal with. That's a concern, too. On the other side of the ledger, the governmental entities, right up and including the Congress, has put ourselves in this bind by lack of priorities, and you've heard me say this over and over again, that's why I ran, to push back against the excessive spending, the pork barreling that goes on, the waste of dollars at the federal level that should really be left back at the state levels to use as they best determine. And so we're pushing on that, and frankly, in the House Education Workforce Committee, in which I sat last week, in the area of higher education, specifically in jobs training programs, we removed and consolidated 47 redundant programs that were for job training alone, some filled with waste, fraud, and abuse, and downsized that. And also, I think most importantly, Tony, we gave flexibility and authority back to the governors and the state legislatures and the local communities to administer these programs, as opposed to having a top-down management from the federal government. That passed out of the House Education Workforce Committee with my vote of support. It now goes to the full chambers, and we're hoping that we get quick action and send that to the Senate, and hopefully they will refuse to be a do-nothing Senate on this issue, because this is job training, exactly what you're talking about. That'll give more opportunity, and I know our governor supports it very strongly. And appreciated the vote, and will use the resources if given the opportunity to make sure that whether it's the Michigan State University or University of Michigan, or whether it's one of our smaller colleges or training centers, it has the resources to do the job.
Congressman, thanks so much.
Thank you for giving me the time, and have a great Father's Day if that applies to you.
Happy Father's Day to you also.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's 8:23. You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com. It's 59 degrees. When we come back, one of the greatest athletes ever to attend Michigan State University, next on 1320 WILS.